Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's VIP studio visit. The captain will be back starting the first week of May. To order your tickets before they are all sold out, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on the VIP tab. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I hope everyone's having a great week. You're at the halfway mark, and we are here to push you through. We're here to get you to Friday, maybe with some laughs, some informative stuff, and some great sound cuts, of course, thanks to Jared Diglio, my producer, who combs through this every day. Now, I want to start with something I've been thinking about, because I'm a big woman when it comes to being able to admit when I'm wrong. And I have to say that, unfortunately, I overestimated Joe Biden. Believe it or not, I'm like one of his harshest critics, and I had higher hopes for him. And this is why. I knew Joe Biden would be a disaster when we elected him president, when he became president of the United States. You don't have to be Carnac the Magnificent to figure out that a 78-year-old man suffering from something, likely dementia, with an inflated sense of self, a little bit of anger issues, a propensity for sniffing hair, and an army of far-left radical progressives pushing him in whatever direction they see fit, you don't have to be a genius to figure out this was going to be a chaotic presidency. Most of us could see that coming. But a few things about it have surprised me. And I want to start with this. I'm shocked, and I've said this before, but I'm shocked at how fast and how quickly he is setting about destroying the Republic. I thought that even Barack Obama, who had a radical agenda, he played the long game more. And he took a little bit more time to roll out his really destructive policies and, you know, to sign his really bad executive orders. He took his time. He was a little bit more patient than Joe. With this current administration, there's no subtlety. There's no nuance. They're just going for it. And two, I thought, like Barack, like former President Obama, that Joe would let the more vocal progressives kind of take the heat for him in some ways. And here's an example. A few months ago, Barack Obama was talking about defund the police. And he was basically explaining how the far left needs to stop coming up with these snappy slogans because it's turning off voters. He didn't say he disagrees with any of their plans, but he was basically saying, can you guys pretend a little bit to be a little bit less crazy so we can get our crazy on, but not in a way so we can fool people. So we can, you know, the suburban white women who feel bad about Trump's tweets, we can fool them. We can guilt them into voting for our people, like, you know, our Joe Biden, for example, or, you know, any of the Democrats, for our guys. But even Barack, you could say what you want about Barack Obama, but he knew that a lot of these crazy slogans and radical policies couldn't be taken at face value. So I thought Biden would be smart enough to kind of let the AOCs and the Ilhan Omars say their ideas, and then he might agree with them behind closed doors, but he could kind of be that hail fellow, well-met persona, you know, that old school, more unifying, restoring the soul of America type guy who would say, oh, hold on here now. Kind of like the grandpa in the room who's like, whoa, 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 kids. We'll figure this out at the dining room table. We're all going to talk about it. I thought Joe would be more like that. But he is actually way more aggressive and way more ready to divide the country than I even expected. Because a lot of these issues we're seeing right now that Jen Psaki is having to circle back on and spin, she's spinning like a top on a lot of these problems. And it's because of nothing more than Joe Biden's big mouth. What is coming out of his mouth, he's not pretending to be the middle of the road here. He's not pretending to be a moderate Democrat. He's actually really ending up being what people have talked about for so long. Like, he is the greatest fear here. He is doing exactly what we all feared. And he, for example, he had to call it Jim Crow, you know, the Georgia law. He had to say it was Jim Crow. Then he had to say it was Jim Crow on steroids. Then he had to say it was Jim Crow 2.0. He can't help himself. He's dramatic and he likes to pack a punch. And so then he had to lie about the timeline of the voting. He said it got cut off at 5 p.m. That has been debunked. We had a caller call in yesterday who thought that was true. It's not. He had to weigh in on the All-Star game. And so now he's being asked about the Masters and he's kind of trying to get out of it, but you can't. Once you weigh in on one sporting event, why can't you weigh in on the others? Let's actually play that sound here. He's cut seven.
I think that's up to the Masters. Look, you know, it is reassuring to see that for-profit operations and businesses are speaking up about how these new Jim Crow laws
says it again.
Are just antithetical to who we are.
It's reassuring that these woke corporations are being bullied by a bunch of lies and a mischaracterization of a bill that is not true. That even like CNN and the Washington Post have said, Joe Biden's lying about this. But it's reassuring to him that the MLB has been bullied. But that's just one example. I mean, think about the masks. He had to make a stink about the federal mask mandate. And then just hours later, he went to the Lincoln Memorial and didn't wear a mask. He continuously talked about physical strength and how much better he was at Trump and how he could do push-ups and how he mocked Trump for, you know, walking slowly down a ramp, and then he fell up the stairs. But it's his mouth, it's his words that keep getting him into trouble and keep getting the Democrats into trouble and give me hope for 2022. Because if he keeps going at this rate, I mean, I'm flabbergasted at how terrible he is this fast. He had to make a big show about reversing all of Trump's border policies. And it has proven to be a complete crisis, a complete disaster. And now his DHS secretary, Mayorkas, is already saying they're going to be filling gaps in the wall. And now they're kind of trying to reenact some of Trump's policies, like remain in Mexico and things like that, because they worked. I thought originally that Joe's biggest problem was going to be the squad bullying him behind closed doors, but he goes out and says the most idiotic things all on his own. And he kind of puts the rest of the Democrats into a real bind. Like the people who, you know, the Susan Rices, the Ron Klains, the Jen Psakis, who were just beltway people. They're kind of probably going, oh, God, why is he weighing in on this now? Jen Psaki tries her best to get him out of situations, but even she is having a hard time backing up some of the craziness that he is saying. And then we go to the infrastructure bill. And this really cracks me up, okay? We'll get into this on the other side. I'm going to keep the lines open all day, 844-500-4242. But the level of semantics now of what's being passed as infrastructure would blow your mind. And there's a great story, Jared, that a lot of people aren't paying attention to. But there's a number they kept going with over and over, 19 million new jobs, 19 million new jobs because of this infrastructure plan. Well, it turns out, as George Bush would say, it's a little bit of fuzzy math and it doesn't really add up. Like most numbers involving Joe Biden, It doesn't really add up. We're going to get into that. We're going to get into Kirsten. I always mess that up. I think it's the trickiest. If anyone out there is named Kirsten, call in. Let us know how your life has been, because I find that that is the hardest name. Kirsten, Kirsten, Kristen. Too tricky. But Kirsten Gillibrand tweeted out about infrastructure, and it is taking the Twittersphere by storm. You know, George Orwell once said, it's a beautiful thing, the destruction of words, and the Democrats are putting that into real full force here. They're changing the meaning of everything. If you're sitting at home, or if you're listening in the car and you thought infrastructure meant maybe some of those potholes outside your house were going to get filled, you know, maybe a new bridge was going to come up, think again. Think again. Infrastructure can be anything you want it to be. It's like COVID. COVID can be whatever you want it to be. And so can infrastructure. We've got it all. 844-500-4242. We also have Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch. He's going to join us at 2. And just a ton of sound to get to, a ton of fun to be had, so don't go anywhere. By the way, guys, allergy season is here. You know, Jared, it hit me today. I was waiting for it, and I came in today. I don't know if you saw me. My eyes were watering. They're like dry and kind of itchy. And yeah. The allergy season is finally
Tree pollen is high starting this week. It had been dust and dander, but dust and dander is low. Now tree pollen is high.
So what do I do, Jared? What's my solution?
Your solution is the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. It's a small device that you plug into the wall. You don't have to worry about replacing filters and dealing with any allergens. There's no long cords. It's portable. It's helped me with my allergies because it ionizes the air, and it actually gets rid of the pollutants. It helps with my allergies anyway. I mentioned last weekend I had an allergy headache, and within 15 minutes of just staying in the clean air, it was gone. It's the perfect air cleaner if you have an allergy. It's not an air freshener. It's an air cleaner, and that's a key.
And also, if you like to cook, if you have a dog in the house, if you have tobacco odors in the house, it's great for that as well. It just really does purify the air. And with this week's offer, you will not only have clean air with the Thunderstorm, but a clean surface with the UVC portable light. You guys remember these because they sold out so quickly during the Cheap Bastard deal. For this week only, you can get yours for free. This is a $79 savings, and it is just while supplies last. So this is how you're going to get it, okay? This is the very important part. To get your Thunderstorm today with the free portable UVC light while supplies last. I don't want to hear complaints if you go a little later. I can't promise it. But for right now, go to EdenPure.com, click on the radio banner, and put in code word Grace Deal. That's EdenPure.com, radio banner, code word Grace Deal. With the Eden Pure Thunderstorm and their UVC light, your air will be clean and your surfaces will be clean too. 844-500-4242. We're going to talk about the infrastructure bill, but I want to know, what are your thoughts so far? I got to check how many days in we are to this administration, but is anyone else out there kind of amazed on a daily basis at how much damage they're doing? How much havoc they're wreaking? I underestimated them. And I would like to know what you guys think. 844-500-4242. We'll be back on the other side. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. I do want to dive in here to this infrastructure plan. I should really be using air quotes when I say that. Infrastructure plan. But before I do, there's a sound cut. Now, I know you guys have noticed that a lot of times Joe Biden does these press conferences. Well, they're not press conferences. These speeches. These teleprompter speeches. And he does them in the afternoon. So sometimes I don't get to them until the next day. And there's one, Jared, that's calling out to me right now that I'm looking at and I'm going, I might have to play that out of context here. Can I get cut one, please?
I promised in the beginning that I'd always give you the straight scoop, straight from the shoulder, the good and the bad.
Now, I'm being totally honest here. It might be my own naivete. Is that an expression?
Yeah, I think... because this came up before. That is the expression that is attributed to FDR, but actually wasn't from FDR. Or there's some weirdness around that expression. He's kind of adopted that as his one of his things, and it he thinks it's from FDR, so we'll just let him keep thinking that.
A scoop straight from the shoulder. Hey, whenever people have to say that, it's like when Rochelle Walensky from the CDC says, I'm going to go off script here. Or when Barack Obama says, let me be clear. Or when someone says, can I be frank? I'm going to give you the scoop right from the shoulder. To me says, get ready. Get your shovel ready because I'm about to unload a bunch of BS.
No joke.
No joke. Come on, man. All right, but we do have to get into this infrastructure bill, which brings me actually to our poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. Eden Pure is offering a special deal only for my listeners. When you purchase the Thunderstorm, an Eden Pure UVC light will be included for free. This is a $79 savings, and it's only available while supplies last. Go to EdenPure.com, click on the radio banner, and put in code word Grace Deal. Jared Diglio, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
All right, so we set this up a little bit. The infrastructure bill we're talking about, you mentioned in the last segment, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand sent out a tweet 3 hours ago, paid leave is infrastructure. Child care is infrastructure. Caregiving is infrastructure. Obviously, I'm inferring the tone, but I think that's what she was saying. And so it has set Twitter on fire, which we'll get into in a minute, but the poll question is, which of Senator Gillibrand's infrastructure claims is the worst? Paid leave, child care, or caregiving? Which is least like actual infrastructure?
I'm going to say child care.
Child care is polling at 36%. Paid leave is in the lead at 50%, while 14% say caregiving is the worst infrastructure claim from Senator Kirsten Gillibrand.
And by the way, I mentioned that Kirsten is a name that always has confused me. I'm already getting tweets about that from Kirstens and Kirstens out there. And it's, you know, I mean nothing by it. If you listen to this show, then we love whatever name you choose to go with on that day, whether it's Kirsten, Kirsten, doesn't matter to me. Now, we got to talk about this bill, though. Because the woke Senator Gillibrand, who I think she was polling during the presidential primaries, she was polling lower than Kamala Harris, which, I mean, she was like Bloomberg range really bad. And she's weighing in. Jared just read that to us. And she says paid leave is infrastructure, child care is infrastructure, caregiving is infrastructure. Now, just so you guys know, according to Newsweek, just under 6% of Biden's infrastructure plan goes to roads and bridges. Well, if that bothers you, then first of all, you're probably a credulous boomer rube with the old school definition of infrastructure. But I have to say, the Democrats are becoming the party of semantics. Like, when words can be whatever you want, if everything is infrastructure, nothing is infrastructure. Just like if everyone is Hitler all the time, Joe Scarborough, no one is Hitler anymore. If every law you don't agree with is Jim Crow, then nothing is Jim Crow. Oh, and by the way, speaking of infrastructure, if everything is racist, including highways, then nothing is racist, which brings me to the next little whopper here. We're going to have to carry this into the next segment, but did you hear what Pete Buttigieg said?
I did.
Now, racism is everywhere. And if you thought that it was Martin Luther King Jr., I think, who said he wanted his kids to be judged on the content of their character, not the color of their skin. Everything now is rooted in racism. Every conversation is about critical race theory and oppressors versus the oppressed. And it's exhausting. And the Democrats love this. I know Charles Barkley said, oh, politicians want black people to hate white people and white people to hate black people. But I have to say, Democrats have Republicans beat on this because now highways are racist. We're going to get into this on the other side. We'll take your calls 844-500-4242. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. The Grace Curley Show is infrastructure. Jerry, did you know that?
I did, and I believe in it. I support it. Let's fund it, Mr. Biden.
Jared Diglio is infrastructure.
I am. And a handsome infrastructure at that.
So Kirsten Gillibrand is saying that paid leave is infrastructure, child care is infrastructure, caregiving is infrastructure. And I found this, first of all, nutty, because we already know that under 6% of Biden's infrastructure plan goes to roads and bridges. That's a pretty low percentage. That's around where Kirsten Gillibrand probably topped off when she was, you know, campaigning to be president.
Being generous.
Yeah, I probably doubled what she was. I think she was around the 3% mark. But infrastructure, you know what else is infrastructure? Racism. Racism is infrastructure.
Well, it's systemic and endemic and all other kinds of icks in the woven tapestry of our nation.
And don't take our word for it here, okay, at infrastructurecurlyshow.com. What I want you to listen to is noted bicyclist and climate change fighter, Mayor Pete Buttigieg. I know he's not mayor anymore, but he'll always be Mayor Pete to me. And this is what he had to say. He said, well, if you're in Washington, I'm told that the history of that highway is one that was built at the expense of communities of color in the D.C. area. There are stories in, I think, Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and in New York. Robert Moses famously saw through the construction of a lot of highways. And then it goes on to say, this wasn't just an act of neglect. It was a conscious choice. There is racism physically built into some of our highways. And that's why the jobs plan has specifically committed to reconnect some of the communities that were divided by these dollars.
Racism, racism.
Are our highways going to be woke now?
Well, to be fair, I believe the highway project was part of the New Deal under FDR, right? So maybe it was racist.
Hey, Jared, don't try to give us a scoop straight from your shoulder, okay?
Sorry.
So... Pete Buttigieg said that's all well and good. But what I found really interesting was another lie that's coming out of this infrastructure plan. This is from the Washington Examiner. And it says top Biden officials repeatedly pushed an objectively false statistic. I'm shocked. I am shocked by that, first of all, about the number of jobs their plan will create. So they've been pushing this idea, including Pete Buttigieg. This is what Pete said. The American jobs plan is about a generational investment. Ooh, a generational investment. And is going to create 19 million jobs. All right. Brian Deese, who was the White House National Economic Council director, said it would create 19 million jobs. The Liberal Center for American Progress asserted that the Biden plan would help create, Jared,
19 million jobs?
19 million jobs. Now, there's just one problem, as this piece points out. This 19 million figure is based on a gross distortion of a report. So the figures come from Moody's Analytics, and that, according to Washington Examiner, is a pretty respected analysis firm, albeit one often very generous and favorable to big government spending plans. However, now this they use different scenarios to get this 19 million jobs number. In the scenario where Biden's infrastructure proposal is passed, Moody's, that's the analytics, Moody's projects that the economy will create 18.96 million jobs. So that's the number. That's 19 million, right? So you're thinking to yourself, Grace, what's the problem? They didn't lie. That's true. Yet, as Washington Post fact checker, one of my favorites, Glenn Kessler, explained, that's compared to a baseline projection of 16.3 million jobs being created without the infrastructure plan. All right. So with the
classic mix up
with the already passed stimulus legislation, it would be 16.3 million. So the real number of jobs that Biden's plan would create is not 19 million. It is 2.7 million kind of a far cry from his original number. Or maybe as George Bush would say, it's a little bit of fuzzy math. I just, there's nothing they are doing so far that isn't lying. And I want to play some of these Biden cuts because he's not even good at it. Let's start with cut two, Jared.
According to CDC estimates, over 80% of teachers, school staff.
Okay, school chef. Now, again, Jared, is there something I should know or is that just a stumble?
He just has a stutter, Grace. How dare you?
Oh, I'm sorry. Once again, yikes, I'm going to get canceled again.
Stutters
today.
Our infrastructure.
This is my third cancellation of the day. Cut three.
There's a lot of good news, but there's also some bad news. New variants of the virus are spreading and they're moving quickly. Cases are going back up. Hospitalizations are no longer declining. While deaths are still down, way down from January, they're going up in some places.
And that's where I have a problem with this, because I saw from Nate Silver, who's not exactly like a huge conservative, that just 222 COVID deaths reported in the U.S. yesterday, which is the fewest since March 23rd, 2020. And obviously, deaths are always bad. No one wants to see anybody die. But this is, the numbers here are going down, and that's good news. And I do understand why Joe Biden wants to keep this going, but I think we have to really, really refuse to allow it to keep going. I've talked about that a lot. I think that this has gone on way too long. Anxiety is habit forming, and we are all addicted to this anxiety, this panic porn. Let's play cut four. I'm curious about this one.
The vast majority of adult Americans will have gotten at least their first shot.
Oh, adult Americans. Got it. And let's do cut five.
Because until this vaccine is available to the world, and we're beating back the vaccine, the virus in other countries, we're not really completely safe.
I said this a million times. All right, so I wish I had a little cartoon movie I could use here. We have goalpost, okay? Picture this little cartoon goalpost. And goalpost was first at the 2 weeks to slow the spread. And everyone like saw the goalpost and they were like, all right, we can do that. I mean, even people who are Trump supporters, a lot of people got guilted into it. You know, you heard all those things that said, you know, your grandfather fought in World War II. The least you can do is stay on your couch for 2 weeks and watch Netflix. Everyone was like, okay, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll wear the mask. I'll stay home, whatever. Then they moved the goalpost until, no. We need to lock down for a few months here until we get a vaccine. And then the vaccine comes. And now goalpost is like pretty close again. We're right there. And they say, no. Everybody needs to be vaccinated. And I said, Jared, so many times, I'm assuming this means everyone in the United States, but I could be wrong. Well, drum roll, please. I guess it actually means everybody in the world. Because why not? You know, we've got nothing but time. The Biden administration has so much time to make people depressed and lazy and sad and broke and desperate. So why not use it? I got to hear that one more time. The world. We're going worldwide here. We can't get ahead of ourselves here until the entire world is vaccinated. Play it again.
Because until this vaccine is available to the world, and we're beating back the vaccine, the virus in other countries, we're not really completely safe.
I'm completely safe. I'm good, Joe. I feel completely fine now. We're good. We're all good. And I love this. I love that people actually tell themselves, oh, well, you know, the vaccine's going to be available for all adults, by the end of April. Because if you didn't notice that, okay, so here's two. You guys know one of my favorite activists. I'm sorry, I mean journalists. One of my favorite journalists is Yamiche Alcindor. She first came on my radar when she got into back and forth with Donald Trump. And then she started trending on Twitter. Everyone started saying hashtag something like we stand with Yamiche or we love Yamiche or Yamiche is our hero. She became a hero. So this is Yamiche in May of 2020. President Trump on Fox News just now. We think we're going to have a vaccine by the end of the year. Yamiche says health officials have said vaccines usually take a year to 18 months. This is Yamiche yesterday. Confirmed today, President Biden is expected to announce today that states should make all American adults eligible for the COVID-19 vaccines by April 19th, moving up his previous deadline of May 1st. He will also say that the United States has reached 150 million shots since he took office. How times have changed. But even that, like I see those tweets, right? And maybe a few years ago when I was naive, I would have thought, oh, this looks good. This is going to end soon because at least they're happy now. You know, they got their guy in. They can end this now. But no, I think it's beyond that. I think it's now a religion. And so when people say to me, oh, well, I'll say, oh, I really don't know what it's going to be like this summer. People say, oh, what do you mean? Every adult's going to be eligible by the end of April. I actually say to everyone I know, what does that mean to me? You are speaking in rational, logical terms, and we are no longer at that point in this country. We are talking about a unicorn, strange, dystopian, mutant ninja turtle. I have no idea what these people will do, what they want to do, what it will take for them to loosen the reins. They're addicted to this. We've given all the wrong people so much power, and they're not going to give it up. Philip, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Philip.
Gracie, what's going on, girlfriend?
What's going on, Philip? What's on your mind?
You know, if Mr. Biden wants the whole world to be vaccinated, I'm curious why is the recipe such a big secret? Why don't they share it with the world? What's the problem?
I mean, it's not like a pizza recipe. I don't think it's that. I mean, I'm sure. Here's the thing about the United States, and Trump did the same thing with the ventilators. The second we have too many, we usually do give them out pretty quickly to other countries. Actually, with Joe Biden, what I'm kind of shocked about is that we're actually vaccinating Americans first, and that there aren't people saying, listen, we got to give these to disadvantaged countries. It's not right that with our American privilege, we should take these vaccines first. But other countries are doing pretty well with it. I mean, there are countries that are handling the vaccines pretty well. And I keep reading about the UK, and they did it differently, Jared. So rather than, and obviously it all depends on the size of where you're at, but rather than give certain people the first dose and then the second dose, they gave out as many doses as they could to as many people as they could. And I don't even get all the science behind it, but it'll be interesting to see. I don't know. Now we are, as John Mayer once said, we're waiting on the world to change. We're waiting on the world to get vaccinated. I hope you guys are feeling patient.
Looking at you, Papua New Guinea.
Hey, we're in for a long road ahead. 844-500-4242. I talked to real normal people. I was at a wedding this past weekend, and I talked to the father of the bride, and he's like a conservative, and he said the same thing to me. He said, well, once everyone has the opportunity to be vaccinated, I'm done. I'm not wearing the mask anymore. It's your choice. You had the opportunity. You know, if you're afraid to sit near me, don't sit near me, but I'm not going to have this mask on to make other people feel better. I hope that's the way it goes, though. I feel like there's so many people who are all about this now. Who says there's no such thing as a free lunch? Not me. Because with my friends at Aviva Trattoria, we will be giving away a free lunch every other Friday here at the studio. So we gave away the lunch last Friday or last Thursday. Our VIPs are coming in this Friday. I'm so excited, Jared. I've already put in a few requests.
Excellent.
I'm feeling like the farmhouse pizza.
Absolutely.
Always and
a good choice.
Obviously, we got to do the arancini balls because those are my absolute favorite. Do you have any requests this week?
Well, I love the short rib risotto and I love the seafood risotto. So any risotto, I'm down for.
And every week I tweet out the photos or every other week and people get really jealous and they get they really want to know where they can get this. There's four locations, guys. OK, so even if you don't win the VIP experience here, you get Marlboro, Maynard, Wrentham and Westford. Now, if you want to sign up, go to gracecurlyshow.com. Enter your email to win the Aviva VIP lunch. That's gracecurlyshow.com. You could be eating calamari and pizza and chicken parmesan with us. Marcy comes in. She brings the whole spread. I'm talking tiramisu, cannolis. Everything is so delicious. So make sure you go to gracecurlyshow.com and sign up. We will be back on the other side. I see you guys waiting on the phone lines. If you want to talk about this, if you want to talk about the world being vaccinated or what is infrastructure to you? Maybe that's a good question. You know, what does infrastructure mean to you? 844-500-4242. This is the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potatoes.
You'll get nothing and like it.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
We're all waiting for the world to be vaccinated. That's the new goalpost. Do you think you can reach it? Someone, please let me know if I'm wrong, if I'm misreading this situation. But it feels like this might go on forever. Joan, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Tell me something good, Joan. What's going on?
Well, thank you for taking my call. You're a very bright woman. I have metamorphosed from not liking you guys to loving you guys. However, I'm politically in the middle. So with that being said, there was a gentleman on your show a few moments ago who was talking about the recipe for the vaccines, if you will.
Yes.
Well, I'm a registered nurse of many years, 35, might be 30, or 34, actually. And I have had some of my colleagues speak to me about not wanting to take the vaccine because there's been some discussion about stem cells from aborted fetuses. So I guess my point that I'm making is it would be wonderful if we could have a recipe, if they would let us know the recipe, because then it would give people, they could look at it and decide whether they want to take, because it's not mandatory at this juncture. And anyway, I just wanted to air my views, Grace, and to tell you that you're a very good host.
Thank you, Joan. And keep listening. I appreciate it. I always love to hear from a medical expert. And I have so much respect for all the nurses. Thank you so much for all your years of hard work. I know there are people who are skeptical of the vaccine. I'm not one of them. I'm a big believer that if you want to get the vaccine, if you're at risk, then you should. If you don't want to get it, then you shouldn't. I mean, you could really summarize my stance on a lot of things as mind your business. Do what you want and mind your business. And I disagree with Joe Biden. That also could be added in there. When we get back on the other side, guys, I want to talk about the Tucker Carlson interview that's taking the internet by storm and also a little bit of this Atlanta, Georgia controversy. Don't go anywhere.